And if I was going to title it, as Christians, fear has to go. There is no room for fear in our life, you know. I mean, in any basis, fear is a liar. There's a song come out, fear is a liar. Fear talks to you. Fear gives you wrong vision. Fear will cause you not to go forward in the things of God. Fear, when fear is tolerated, it contaminates the faith. It contaminates your faith. Once your faith is contaminated, you begin to lose zeal. You begin to lose a go forward. You begin to lose strength. Hallelujah. And I saw fear one time in my spirit, and I used to watch, was it Superman? Yeah, Superman. Some of the younger generation may not know. But there was only one thing that could bring Superman down, and that was kryptonite. Y'all remember that? And the Lord told me, I guess 20-something years ago, He said, fear in a Christian's life is like kryptonite to Superman. It renders you powerless. It'll render you powerless. And I mean, there is no room for fear in a Christian's life. You can have it. And you can let it work, and you can tolerate it and not fight against it and subdue it. I like to subdue things like that. I like to be on top of it. I like to be in control of things that try to control me. Hallelujah. You know, and that's the God kind of spirit that we have. But how many knows we can't have any place for fear to work? It's got to go. It don't make no difference if it's natural. You know, natural storms. I've told the story here, and I learned some things in life as I went and messed up. You know, I'd make mistakes, you know, and everything. And then once I realized, you know, that the reason why things were able to work is because I was yielding to fear. And I'm talking about in the fear area. Fear will cause you to be in competition with people. Fear will cause you to compete and all of that, and we're not to be competitors. We're not to judge ourselves by one another. That's what the Bible says, you know. And so it'll cause you to compete for jobs. It'll cause you to, you know, it'll cause you to worry. Worry's sin. Worry is just simply missing the mark. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And I do not want my faith contaminated, because the Bible says in 1 John over there, it says, this is the victory. There ain't no other victory. The victory's already won. Jesus won the victory. And then he says over there in 1 John 5:4, he said, whosoever is born of God, he's talking to Christians, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That is why fear will contaminate your faith that brings you victory. Faith brings you victory. You know, we operate in grace through faith. The Bible says we're saved by grace through what? Faith. You can't even access God's grace without faith. And we have faith. The Bible says that we've been given the measure of faith. You might feel faithless. That's why you go to school. That's why you go to church, where you learn how not to be moved by your feelings and emotions. You get trained in it, and then you go out and you use it. You go out and you use it. Then when you use, more will be given. The Bible says He'll multiply what you use. He said, be careful what you hear, for the measure that you use. Somebody say use. Faith is like a wrench to a mechanic, to a Christian. Faith is like, you just take a mechanic. He can be one of the best mechanics they are and not have any tools, and he's almost worthless. He don't have anything to work with. Well, God's given us faith as a tool, and we have it. We're not without it. We have the faith of God. We have the God kind of faith. And one of the things that helps us to overcome fear, it's already been defeated through Jesus Christ. But one of the things that helps us majorly in our walk with the Lord to get rid and kill and conquer fear so that nothing hinders our walk and the blessing is the Word of God. That's why I'm so big on the Word of God, for in my personal life and in this church, because I know what I do and what I use. If I share it and somebody picks it up and they begin to use it, the Bible works. It's just the Bible. So without the Word is the foundation, a foundation that we build our lives on. And we look all through the Bible. I was doing a little research, and fear is mentioned 365 times. In the Bible, you got one for every day. There should never one day go by that we let fear work. We need to work on it. Some people, they're terrified of this and that, and when you become a Christian, that's not your nature anymore. That's not you anymore. That's the old nature. That's the old person that is trying to keep you back from the promises of God. From walking in favor and peace and joy and knowing that your future is set. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans, the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. They're good. His thoughts are good. I mean, to give you hope, to give you a future, to give you an expected good ending. Hallelujah. But you know what? Fear will keep you out of it. Fear will cause you not to move forward in God. I mean, we should not fear death. I don't fear dying. See, it's not the dying that people are afraid, God's people are afraid of. You know, it's going in the ground. Because if you're a Christian, then you know to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That gives me and kills fear for me. See, the Bible says that death was swallowed up in victory. It says, O death, where is your sting? Hallelujah. It don't have none. See, but you got to renew your mind to that so that you don't dread dying. You don't dread leaving here. I don't want to leave here, but I'm not afraid. That's when they told me, do you want to watch the video when they're fixing to cut me open? And my brother said they put my heart out and put it on the table. I don't really know if they did or not. I think it's that little stretching it. And then one of my sisters thought they sewed one of my veins to my heart or something. I don't know what, or something, you know, all of that stuff, you know. But anyhow, when I'm facing that surgery, you know, you got a 50% chance of dying, 50% chance. You're dead. I mean, I died. I mean, my physical body. There was a pump pumping my blood through my body. That's all it was. And I was dead. And I knew I was going to be dead, and I thought, somebody told me, aren't you afraid? And I said, well, see, now look, up to that point, though, I mean, I've been years conquering and keeping that thing under, see. See, you can't, you got to start where you're at, you know, and build up faith, replace faith with fear, replace it. And then when you face something major in your life, you won't be tore all to pieces. You won't, because you know the Word of God. You know that God is faithful. You've been serving a faithful God, and He's been teaching us all along. But I mean, He's really strong on me about teaching on fear. I fear nothing. I don't have no fear. Preachers told me back when I started conquering fear, you know, conquering it, you know, and having opportunity, and I would hear them, you know, and one of them said, well, Mr. West, you know, you got to fear something. I said, nah, you got to worry. Fear's worry. We got to worry about something. I said, no, I don't. I said, Jesus said, don't worry. I said, so if He told me I don't worry, then I have the power not to worry. See, if Jesus said you can do something, then He gives you the power to do it. If the Word tells you to believe something, then the power to do that is in that Word that you believe. It releases the grace of God. Why? Because you're in faith now. You're in faith. I mean, you can be. And so anyways, I told one of them, said, aren't you afraid of dying? And I said, no. I said, I know what the Word of God says. I said, the Word says if I die, I'm going to be immediately with Jesus. I said, so why would I worry? Well, what about your family? I said, he told me if I'd follow Him, He'd take care of everything. I said, so He'll take care of my wife when I leave. He promised me He would. See, it cast out that fear, Johnny. Then it didn't have no insurance, $130,000 doctor bill. And I mean, that thing came down on me, you know, and tried to, my God, supply all. See, you got to have the word. You got to come back with the word. Come back with faith. Let it come out of your mouth. And don't speak, what we going to do? Because my thoughts were, my God, I'll spend the rest of my life making payments on that. Time may add interest and blah, blah, blah. You know, and then if I don't pay it, they'll take the church and take my land and freeze it and liens. And I mean, see, fear torments you. That was not God speaking. God don't tell you in the middle of your mess, you're going under, oh my God, hang on. Grab a rope. He don't. He told Joshua and him, I preach it all the time. You know, he told Joshua, meditate on the word day and night. He said, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then he went on, he said, be of good courage and fear not. In other words, he was telling, he could have sat there and told him, now look, there's Jebusites, there's Hittites, and there's the enemy that's got everything that I've got for you. They got it, and you're going to have to take them out. But he didn't tell them all that. But they faced these Jebusites and these Ites and all these. And Moses even sent 10 spies up there, you know, to spy out what God said. They didn't know if it was really like that or not, Johnny. But the 12 spies went in there and they said, man, they said, it is just like God said. This was years, decades before they got there that God told them what that land was going to be. That was the place where they were going to live in houses. That their enemy built their houses. Houses and planted vineyards and all dug wells and probably had pastures and all that stuff, you know, grazing and all that. And God didn't really tell them all that. He said, you're going to live in houses. And all this time, the enemy was building up their promises. Well, they get there, 10 of them comes back, and they said, oh, God, we can't do it. I mean, a lot of the body of Christ is that way today. Oh, my God, they've been diagnosed with cancer. Oh my God, their life is over. You're not supposed to react that way. You're supposed to get down and say, glory to God. God's bigger than cancer. God's bigger than diabetes. God's bigger. I was telling the kids, I heard the story about Keith and his grandparents and all that. His papa had a huge, huge, huge bull. I think it was a Black Angus or something. It was huge. And every time he'd go to, he wanted to go to Papa's, his Papa's, he wanted to see that bull, you know, and he wanted to pet that bull. The bull would come up to you, that you thought it was going to get fed. And his grandmother would tell him every time, son, you see that big bull? Yes, ma'am. And she would tell him, God is bigger than that bull. And I mean, it made an impact even today in his worldwide ministry, and that made an impact on him that, God, this is a big bull, and God's bigger. And so I told Aubrey and him the other day something, whatever it was. I said, you see that? God's bigger. I thought if it weren't for them and worked into his life, well, then it'll work into their life. Then I'm magnifying God bigger than their fears. See, one of the keys is magnifying God bigger than what you're facing. See, if God's not bigger in your perception of what you're facing, then fear is. Fear is going to cripple you and destroy you and take you out. I've seen it take people out. I used to fear losing my marriage because we never divorced. I paid for a divorce and made payments on it and never got one. Couldn't get my money back. No refund on this one, Jack. So I paid for a year or so, whatever it was. But anyhow, after I got saved, you know, I feared, that was before I got saved, we got saved. After I got saved, fear tried to dominate me. And God told me, he said, give her to me. And I was reluctant to give her to God because I thought he might take her, you know. I don't know what God might do. I mean, I'm a baby Christian, you know, and I'm like, I don't want you to have her either, God. I want her. That's that carnal thinking, see. I didn't know the principles if whatever I give, God is able to keep that I commit to him. See, I didn't even know that scripture then. But see, you don't have to really know scripture for God to speak to you and start you on the road, but he will reveal what he's saying to you sooner or later in there. It'll connect with you. He'll connect the dots. Well, I gave her to the Lord. I said, okay. I said, okay, God, I said, I don't know how to give her to you. And he said, just imagine my hands. How many knows God give you imagination for a reason? He said, imagine my hands coming down and you putting her in my hands. And so I just shut my eyes and I just imagined God's hands coming down and I just imagined me putting her in his hands, praise God. And you know what? From that minute on begun a work because I was obedient to what he said. It started to work, and I mean, I've not been in competition with any man since then. Praise God, I've even told the devil when I felt that, you know, I would feel like that, you know, I would tell the devil, you know what, he would bring her back, but God, I know how she is. So you go ahead and let him try to get her. So what I'm saying, I got free from that, and I've lived a free man in that area for a long time. You can't make me jealous. You can't get me. You can whistle at her, not as I'll be like. I done killed a bear, and I done killed a lion. I done killed fear, and this and ain't no different. Be like David. You know, I was reminded of these stories in the Bible as I was thinking about the spirit of fear, because I'm like, I mean, look, I can't put together a sermon. I just don't have the power to do that. So I always say, okay, God, I just receive what you want for us tonight, God, or Sunday or whatever, God. And God, I just yield myself to you, God. And God, you'll have to deposit it because I'm not that smart. See, God using us, we don't have to be educated. Nothing wrong with education. But we need to be educated in Him and in the Word through the Holy Spirit. To experience. I've not been a jealous man in a long time. I went around saying, praise God, I'm a free man. I'm a free man. And the Bible, don't Jesus say whom the Son sets free is what? Going to be bound half their life? We already been freed. The Son has set us free. Jesus has set us free from fear. We have we've got to get rid of fear. Well, you know what? I told that person, asked me, are you afraid to die? And I said, nah, be absent from this body, be present with the Lord. And then one of my other brothers said, I prayed for you. I don't know if God heard me or not. I said, well, I talked to him this morning. I said, I'll be back. I said, and when I do, come on to church. I'm going in open heart surgery. We're trying to get him to come to church when I get out. See, what I'm saying, it's not because I'm physically that strong, and all of that, but when you're strong on the inside, you're strong in the Lord. I mean, when you conquer fear, then there's freedom there. There's freedom. You'll have a clear mind. You'll have a clear heart. You'll have peace. That's what the Lord talking about Jesus. He said, my peace I give to you, not like this world gives. See, the world experiences peace when all their bills are paid and their kids are not acting up and they're not threatened to lose their job and they've got peace then and they can go barbecue and have a good time. You know, but God's people right in the middle of hell can still barbecue and have a good time and lean on that grace. God, I thank you for your strength, God. God, I'm made strong in my weakness, then I'm made strong. You know, and that scripture don't mean we have to stay weak, though. No, absolutely not. The Bible says for us to be courageous and not fearful. He said, be strong in me. That's every day. That's not just on Sunday and Wednesday. Praise God. Hallelujah. But fear has to go. Well, I feared, give me that, what have I got? Give me that 1 Timothy before I go on. I'm preaching way ahead of myself, but. It's in me. It ain't something that is. That's not it. No. 1 Timothy. It is? 2 Timothy. I wrote it down wrong. 2 Timothy 1:7. Yeah, that's right. I quote it to you, but I want you to see it. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. And she's going to put it up there in the Amplified. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. But of power, love, and a sound mind. Not a wore out mind, not a worried mind, not a stressful mind. A sound mind. Here's what it says in the Amplified. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, cowardice, or craving, or cringing, or fawning fear. But He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Fear can't control you. God's give us His spirit. He's give us His... How many knows that God, the fear don't come from God at all? God didn't give us a spirit. It says here, spirit of fear will cause you to be cowardly. It'll cause you not to believe God when your kids are messing. It'll cause you not to believe God when you're going in open heart surgery and all the statistics afterwards. I looked up a little bit after I got out because, I mean, I'm weaker than what I thought I would be. So I go in there and I look at some of the results of people my age, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, I got out of there real quick. Out real quick. Oh, it's been 3 years and I still can't move and blah, 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 blah. I mean, there was 1 out of 100 maybe that was a good report. And I got out of there and I said, this is not my vision. I said, glory to God. And then I told Teresa one time, you know, just wait on me a little longer. I couldn't do nothing. But you know what? One thing I wouldn't do is sit down and whine, give in to the pain and give in to the, you know, the oppression. I'm not worth anything anymore. You know, some people told me sign up for disability, blah, 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 blah. And I thought in my mind, yeah, that would be good. Just sit at home, draw $350 a month. I need the food pantry down at the church then. I thought, you know what? Fear ain't going to cause me to yield to poverty. No. I told her, God, just wait on me a little longer, baby. I'll be back. So my shop's about far near D's car, maybe not that far. So I thought, I'm going to the shop. I'm going to go to the shop, tote tray. I'm going to go to the shop. Well, now don't be lifting nothing. They didn't even want me to tote my eggs, you know, in a plate for a little while. Don't be lifting. I won't. She knows me. You'll get up there. You'll die. No, I won't. I won't. I'll be mindful. Well, I made it about halfway and I looked back down. I was like, oh my God, it's too far to go back to the house. Might as well stand here and rest. So I stood there and rested just a few minutes and I said, I go in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. I spoke to this body. I said, you ain't going to keep me down. You ain't going to keep me standing here. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power. Why? I have to kill that fear. Kill it. That's how you kill it. I mean, you don't sit down, where did I go back and call brother God in the church and get the 1-800 prayer line going. You know, there's power in a lot of people praying. No, there's not a lot of power in a lot of people praying. It's according to what they're praying. God, if you can, touch brothers. God, he don't pray for me. What do you mean if he can? Huh? What you praying for people? Well, I've seen sisters doing. That's fear. And she didn't go, that's fear. You don't believe and preach and minister based on experience. Some people are going to stay in fear and they are going to lose and I don't have to wonder about it. The Bible is clear. It'll cause you to be cowardly. It'll cause you to be timid. It'll cause you to draw back. It's like kryptonite to your faith, like it was to Superman. Fear cannot be tolerated if you want victory. I don't care what reason we have. There's no reason. The Bible says, "Be courageous and fear not." It's a command. And then He sent us His Spirit. So that we don't have to yield to it. Well, you know what? I was scared of storms. There ain't nobody in here probably scared of storms as I was. I was about Aubrey's age maybe. Yeah, I was probably about 89 years old. And they call where we lived, it's in front of Cleveland School. We live 5 miles down there. And they called that Tornado Alley. There's just ridges on both sides. And it just seemed like they named it Tornado Alley, not a road sign, but I mean the community, you know. I mean, you talk to anybody, oh, it's a Tornado Alley through here, man. It's Tornado Alley. Tornado Alley. That's about all you heard. Faith comes by hearing on it. I mean, it just helped build that fear. Well, a tornado came through one night, and some of my brother-in-laws were visited over there, and tornado come through, and my dad had a building nearly big as this one up beside the house, big block building. It took it and leveled it. And they were holding the doors. It broke the door hinges, not the hinges where you're opening. It busted the jambs out, and the linoleum on the floor rose. I mean, it just like it was being sucked up like this. You know, and you could feel the pressure on the house. You know, I mean, it was just, I can't explain it. And it sounded like a freight train. It sounded just like a freight train that you would have to set, and they're blowing the whistle. It sounded like that, and you could hear crashing and the wind blowing. And I mean, it was awful, you know. But it didn't take the house. It took the pump house and put it on Dad's truck and smushed his truck and took the building down. Then there was some people up on the hill up there that lived in a trailer, and it pulled the frame. Back then, they anchored the frame down, you know, instead of going all the way up across the trailer, some of them. And it just took the trailer off the frame, and it left one guy in the bed, you know, covered up. He was still snoring when we got up there, man. I mean, the dude is laying there soaked and snoring. But it throwed the rest of the family through barbed wire fences and scattered them down through the pasture and different things, tore them up, you know. And from that moment until several years ago, I mean, I could just see a cloud. And I mean, fear would hit me to where my sideburns burned. They literally burned. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, that fear had me. It had me. And so anyways, go on, get saved. And I'm like, glory to God. And I'm fixing to read you a story here in a minute, maybe. But anyways, I got saved and everything. Give me that before I go on to that. Y'all remember where I'm at right now. Give me that 1 John first. Y'all remember the story I'm fixing to tell you where I won't forget. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Do you believe that God loves you?
Yes.
See, you cannot get rid of fear if you don't believe God loves you. That's right. You got to believe that God loves you. God loves you just like He loved Jesus. Here's your scripture. You need to get in your heart where you can believe that God loves you. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved you that He gave Jesus. And so you need to meditate that and say, God, I thank You love me just like You love Jesus. I mean, say that and think that and say that and think that and thank Him for loving you and all that. And I mean, get that because if you don't have that, it's going to be hard for you to conquer fear and a lot of stuff. It says, God has to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. No fear. But perfect love casteth out fear. But this is, I wanted to highlight this. Because fear hath what? He that fears is not perfected in love. You're not growing. I didn't write it. He did. Give me the Mark 4. So, I want to read this before I go on. And the same day, this Jesus, He had been teaching the disciples up to this point. I mean, He had been teaching them. He had been ministering to them, preaching the word to them, and up to this point. And he said, let's go to the other side. They get in the ship. He said, and the same day when the evening was come, He said to them, let's pass over unto the other side. How many knows this is enough word to get you over? He told them, let's go to the other side. He don't waste words. God don't waste words. And He didn't waste these by giving them to us. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Is that all of it? Okay. And he was in the hinder part of the ship on the pillar. That's Jesus. He's asleep back there. How many knows? He knows the storm was going on. He's the captain. Bible says he's the captain of our salvation. He knows the storms. He knows what storm's in your life. He knows what storm is going to come into your life. That is why he equips you with the Word of God before you get to storms. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, you know, you can build faith in storms. I said, I've never been able to do it. I said, I just have to fight when I'm in the storm. I said, but I found out if I got faith when I enter into that storm, I don't have to find it. I'm already in it. You don't wait till trials to get strong. You know? And he arose and rebuked the wind. No, they said, Master, carest thou not, do we perish? Fear. They were afraid. Even Jesus in the ship. They were afraid. And I seen this back yonder and I thought, man, they were supposed to get up and speak to that storm. They were supposed to do it. Mark 11 says it. He said, whosoever shall speak to say to that mountain. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, look what he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why? Because he had been teaching them and they casting out devils. And man, I mean, they've seen miracles. They've seen the feeding of the 5,000. They've seen a lot of stuff go on in their life. And he says, why was you fearful? He was really getting on to them. You should not have folded. You should not have given in to that. What was happening? They were looking at the natural. They were looking at the storm. But you know what? It wasn't the storm, Johnny, they was afraid of. They was afraid of what the storm could do to them. See, Paul says, I consider not my life dear to myself. If I believe that God can roll back the Red Sea, if I believe that God can dry up the Jordan River, I mean, if I believe that he's my God, then black God, I'm going to start speaking. As he is, so are we. We just read it. As Jesus is, so are we. He got up and rebuked that thing and it shut up. Jesus wasn't in fear. He's sitting down there getting him some rest, man. He's probably been preaching all day long, 12, 15 hours, I don't know, you know, and got everybody pulling on him, asking him questions. The Bible says before this, he spoke in parables. Then he explained it to the disciples. See, you know, people without God, they don't understand the things of God. They don't understand the Bible. It's like speaking a different language to them. I don't understand nothing. I didn't understand it till later on, Johnny. You know, God begins to reveal to his people the things. But here he said, why are you so fearful? Now here's what happened. I'd read this story, and so I told you the story about that incident happened in the natural in my life, and so I feared, I'm telling you. I mean, I didn't want spring to get here. I did not want spring. Spring is my favorite time of the year, but I hated spring. Why? Because that's when the thunderstorms rolled in. And then I realized later we have two of them. We have hurricane season. That's in October and so. So now I got two fears, spring and winter. Torment. I put it on Facebook back when COVID hit. I was not afraid of COVID a bit. And I was labeled by some, you know, trying to kill y'all. Because we're coming together. In my natural mind, I thought, am I all selfish? Is this all about me? You know, I mean, because I got this dogged attitude, which is faith, you know, that I'm not going to be. I'll go to jail for the gospel. Black God, they'll turn me out of there. I'll get everybody saved. If they don't, black God, hallelujah. I'll be on vacation in Jesus in there, and I'm not shooting you a bunch of hot air. You watch and see if I go to jail. If I don't do it, I'll start revival in there. I'll start preaching. I'll get them saved, and I'll pastor them every day. I get every day. We'll meet at 9, guys. Y'all come on right after breakfast, but God. We're going to believe our way out of here. We're getting out. Satan messed us up and got us in prison, but God. Well, I seen some prayer warriors in the Bible where they prayed, and an angel went over there and got Peter out and unlocked it and let him out. See, what will cause you not to have fear? You've got to have faith in God. You've got to read this word and say, this is my God. This is my victory. Renew my mind to it. Hallelujah. Well, here, this story, I done read it. I'm a couple of years old in the Lord, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not that. I don't know. Well, here comes old Mike Royer. Not Mike Royer. I think James Spann. Here comes James Spann. Oh, there's a bad one coming, boy. And that baby coming through Tuscaloosa. And I mean, they start giving the reports. There's cars upside down and blah, blah, blah. And there's hail. And I mean, straight line winds and trees are blowed over. And 250,000's already out of power and it's coming to Birmingham. And I'm like, oh my God. And I even knew in the Bible and Isaiah over there that I went to the jail and preached to them and went to church and preached to them. And you know whose report we're going to believe? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know you will have the opportunity to be tested and tried and see if you're going to do this? This comes to every one of us. See, the supernatural operates in the people that don't bow to the music. That don't bow. And so, I told Teresa, I said, well, we ain't been up there where Elvis Presley lives and the museum. And I come up with this bright idea, Johnny. We're getting out of here, baby. Let's get out of here a couple hours. We'll spend the night up in Memphis. Let's go to Tennessee. I'm running from this thing. And so we pack up and everything. I'm happy. Oh, yes, Jesus. Go with us, Lord. Thank you for your angels watching over us. Bless God. We took off. Well, I ain't got no weather channel. And so while we were on our way, that thing changed directions. And it went to Tennessee. And that sucker met me. The very storm that I was running from met me in Tennessee. I thought, what happened? Well, when I heard the weather, it changed directions. It was following me, meeting me up there. You might think that's stupid, but the Bible says in the book of Job, everybody wants to, you know, I'm like Job and going through life, blessed be. He give, God give it, and God take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, the Bible says the very thing that Job feared came on him. Fear drawed it to him. Fear draws things to you out of the dark side. Fear opens the door for demonic spirits. Fear, they feed off of it. They feed. The demonic spirits feed off of people's fears. Hallelujah. And so, I mean, when that happened, I thought, boy, that devil, he played on my mind. How many knows we are supposed to cast down them imaginations, them arguments? Well, you know what? I'm not scared of storms anymore, period. I left there and I thought, bless God in the name of Jesus. God hadn't given me a spirit of cowardice. I cowered down to that stupid storm when Jesus got up and got on the disciples. And I started ministering to myself, praise God. And then, you know, one time, it was a little storm, blowed over a couple of trees, and praise God. And I mean, I felt bad. I didn't want to lose my trees. And then the Lord said, well, you didn't speak to it. He said, you didn't. So the next time they give me one, I got out there and I said, I curse you in the name of Jesus. I spoke to it two or three states away. And I told it. You ain't coming across this property. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I command you to cease. You will not touch one tree on my property. You will not damage my property in the name of Jesus. And you will not kill my neighbors. And then I'm like, hope the rest of them praise. Well, you know what? I've not lost any trees since then. Hallelujah. What happened? I come out of fear into faith. I come out of fear into faith. And faith moves mountains, the Bible says in Mark 11. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou cast. Not doubt in his heart. But one way you're not going to doubt, you got to get rid of fear. Fear cannot be tolerated. If you're going to believe God for finances, you've got to get rid of fear. If you're going to believe God for your marriage, you've got to get rid of fear. You've got to get rid of fear. You know, the devil will tell me, well, when them grandkids get set, they're going to blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell him, my grandkids are never going to leave the Lord. They're never going to be tempted to leave the Lord. They're going to know that, what am I doing? I'm combating that fear with faith, and I'm speaking, calling those things that ain't got here yet as though they already are. And when they get here, I've already set it in motion because of my and your faith. People don't believe it works like that. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. God told them over there, I'm going to take you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And by God, they laid their eyes on that land. And you know what? 10 of them come down and said, oh, we can't take it. We can't take them. You know, we're like grasshoppers. They're like giants, man. They're big. They're strong. Caleb and Joshua, the Bible says, steal the people. And if you read in there, it said they had a different spirit about them. Well, the 10 made the whole congregation fear. The 10 got them all discouraged. We was better off down yonder. We didn't have to face all this stuff. Now we're out here, and now the things that God... But they come out and they said, it's just like God said. It took 2 men to tote 1 cluster of grapes. They must have been some watermelons. Dude, there ain't no telling how big them grapes was. Took 2 men to tote a cluster? Dude, a cluster. how big was them suckers? They laid eyes on, they probably like, ah, these are not grapes. These are giant watermelons. All together like grapes. It had to be big, Johnny, 2 people to tote it. Come on, man, I can tote a whole grapevine, load it down with them, drag it across there, and they couldn't even tote it. Praise God. And so they're like, "Woo, yeah." They come back out and say, "Yeah, man, it's just like God said." And then 10 of them said, "Yeah, but there's some big guys in there who got them houses. We can't take them." That, don't we do that today if we're not careful? Why, God, me? Why? Why not you? Why not have a few trials so you can prove to God how strong you are? Come on, why not? Why don't you just get up in the devil's face and say, come on over here. Come on to my house. Get off them neighbors over there. Come on, won't you come over here. Come on over here. You got anything you want to try? I told that to a congregation one time. They're like, no, we can't do that. We're going to leave Satan alone, man. Don't get him on us. I said, he's already got you. I'm trying to get you to get up against him. He's already got you fearful of him. You're afraid of him. If you're not afraid of him, then cuss him a little. I'm not talking about our cuss words. Which I would cuss him out. I would. I'd like to do that. I still ain't forgot how to cuss, boy. I could sling him out there. I could wear him out with them cuss words. I told him one time, I told Satan one time after I found, you know why I'm so bold, Johnny? Because the Bible says that he's given me power over him. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It says it. Yeah. Well, if I believe it, then why am I scared of him? Why would I want to be scared of him? No. I told Satan one time, I said, you know what you are? It don't say you're a lion. It says you're roaming too like a lion does. Seeking whom you may devour. I said, I bet you if I could see you, you're like a little tiny mouse that has been pulled all their teeth out. I told him, I said, all you can do is gum me, baby. I ain't never seen nobody gum me and hurt a finger. Ain't nobody going to chew your finger off when they got ain't no teeth in, right? He's a gummer. Well, that was just my way of standing up telling him. And I told him one time, I said, come on over here, dude. Why don't you try something? Won't you try? He messed with his church. He's been messing with his church the last couple of months. That's fine. Go ahead, dude. We're here. Well, ain't all of us. We don't need all of us. I don't need you to stand in victory. You don't need me to stand in victory. You got victory. So you just stand in it. The Bible says 1,000 will fall at our side, 10,000 at our right side, but it shall not come nigh us. Only with our eyes will we see the reward of the wicked. So I'm going to stand on that and say, glory to God, I don't never have to fall. I don't care if everybody don't make it. I'm going to make it, God. See, you got to go alone with Jesus. Sometimes you're going to be alone with Him. There's nobody can comfort you. There's nobody can get rid of those fears and all of that. You got to do it. There is a no-fault religion. It ain't my fault. I mean, I know people, things happen all the time bad in their life, and it's everybody but them. And I'm like, what about you? Reckon any of it's your fault? Reckon any of it's our fault for suffering loss because we won't get rid of fear? Yes. You can't blame God. He is faithful. We say it all the time. You say it. You even say it. God's faithful. God's faithful. Well, then let's use that and say, Lord of God, I'm coming out of fear. I'm not going to yield to fear anymore. I'm not afraid of storms anymore. I am. I'm telling you the honest God's truth. And I even got the block and all, built me a big storm pit. Man, whew, I'm getting on the ground, Johnny. Baby, I don't care. I'll go in there and go to sleep, just spend the night. I don't care. Let it whistle. And every time I go really pursue that, I just feel like I'm not against storm pits. Don't think I'm religiously, you know. But every time I go to do that, I thought, I'm going to build this for nothing. Because, I mean, I got the power to send it around. I've got the power to stand against it. I've got the power. And Satan says, what if you don't? What if you get in fear? And I tell him, what if I don't? Don't question. I'm not going to question if the Lord's faithful. He's faithful. He said He would supply all of my needs, right? All of your needs, right? He said He's faithful. He said His name is faithful and true. Hallelujah. You can't, you know, don't be jealous of people in your life. Don't be jealous. You know, that's fear. That's cowardly. You don't got time for that. That'll put you in bondage. That torments you. And you can't be in faith. Hallelujah. You cannot be in faith and fear at the same time. It will not happen. It don't mix. It's like oil and water. It does not mix. You can't. It's kind of like two magnets. You can turn magnets, and I mean you can't force them together. There's a force there, you know, that pushes those magnets apart. But then you turn it around up to metal, and it'll bing. Well, that the way that won't come together, faith and fear is the same way. It won't let you connect with God. Fear stops you from connecting with the Holy Spirit. How many knows that? You've got to totally get rid of fear. I mean, there ain't no, it's a command. And the only reason God don't want us operating in fear is because we can't go where we're going and have fear in our life. You can't go where God wants you to. They couldn't go to Canaan land without. He tried to build them up all through the wilderness. He tried to build them up, showing them, I rain manna, you know, I mean, and all they did is complain. They wouldn't get in faith like Caleb and Joshua. It was a choice they were making. They were making a choice to fear. You know, I mean, I've got people, you know, Satan told me one day, he said, yeah, you're one of the youngest and you're on, your whole family's going to die. And I told him, I'm going to get them saved first and then I'm okay with it. So I'm believing God. He said, I'm standing on the scripture, the word. He said, if I would serve Him, He said He would save my whole house. That's a promise. No matter what it looks like, what it sounds like, what they acting like, because it don't look good sometimes. I'm not trusting in them. I'm trusting that God will do what He told me He'd do in His word if I would serve Him. And so you know what? Praise God. That's what He's doing. Little by little, they're getting saved. They're talking about God. They're talking about, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, this evening, I'm out praying. Me and the grandkids are praying for the service. They said, Papa, are you going outside? Now, they're just wanting to go outside. But I know what's going on. You're going outside, Papa, to pray for the service? And I said, yeah, you want to go? Yeah, I might find something I want out there. She's a treasure hunter. She found some rocks and stuff different, and she's taking them home with her. You know, but I'm praying for the service. I'm praying, and I'm leaning on God. I'm yielding everything to God. You know who's hearing? They're hearing it. You know what they're going to do? I remember my papa on my mama's side. He was in his 80s or 90s. Wore glasses this thick. We went fishing with him, you know, because he couldn't see how to bait the hook or nothing, man. He broke a hook. He couldn't get the hook. He couldn't, you know. And so we'd go bait the hook, you know, and everything. You'd take his fish off and all of the old man, you know. And we'd go spend the night with him, and he'd lay in there, and I mean, he'd just talking to God. He just talking to God and saying, God this. I'm thinking to myself, talking to God. He can't be talking to God. God ain't down here. God's up yonder somewhere, you know. But that made an end. I still remember it today. That my papa on her side, well, my grandkids are going to have that same legacy. They going to hear, they ain't going to hear papa. Oh, my God, y'all. I mean, we're up there the other day, and Aiden sees a little spider, and he's like, ah! Screaming like a little girl. I said, wait, get back up there. What's wrong with you? That's a spider, Papa. I said, kill it. What's wrong with him? Fear. Now, I ain't going to go pick up no spider and let it bite me. That's just wisdom. Wisdom, right? It ain't because I'm afraid of it. It's because I know that it'll bite me and it's poison and I'll get a big spot that'll rot and all that. You know, that's not fear. That's wisdom. You know. So I told him, I said, you can't be scared of these bugs. He's up there the other day and a little wasp flew around. He jumps off, said, hey, jump back on there and mash the brakes. Thing running slap off the gator. And the gator's still going. He's leaving the gator. I said, get back on there and mash the brakes. And he got, Papa, there's, I said, that's my friend. He won't hurt you. He jumps on there, you know, and he won't hurt me. And I said, no, he won't hurt you. I like them. They eat bugs and stuff. You know, don't be scared of them. I'm teaching him not to be scared of these wasps and these bumblebees and these, you know. I mean, Aubrey goes out there. She you know, she's not afraid of them. I'll tell her, no, I don't eat them. She got some berries out there. I said, don't eat them. No, it was Aiden. I said, don't eat them. I don't know what them are. He's going to eat them. He eats stuff out of my garden. You know, praise God. Well, Aubrey, she gets in some, what do you call that? Poison oak. He gets in some poison oak down there, praise God, and she didn't get it. So, you know, I told her, I said, you can drink any deadly thing and it won't hurt you. See, you build up a resistance when you have faith. You built up a resistance to fear. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, taking therewith the shield of faith, it'll kill fear. That quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. How many knows fear comes from the devil? We're not supposed to fear at all, not anything, not anything. And I'm not talking about a man prideful, you know. I'm talking about a reverence, a respect for God that He's given us these things. See, the Spirit of God is not flesh. It's not fleshly. It's of the Spirit of God. It's the power of God in us to be able to believe these impossible seemingly things. I mean, right after I had open heart surgery, something else attacked me. And something else attacked me. And every time something attacked me, say, no, you're about washed up as pastor. You've been there a long time. Travis is going to have to take over. And I'm like, God, he'll kill everybody. He shut it down, man. He shut her down. But I come back to the way my body feels and then what the Word says. And then I'm like, Satan, you're not going to change my mind. You might as well shut up. I'm not going to keep my mind on my aching arm. I'm not going to keep my mind on my aching toe. I'm not going to keep my mind on what it looks like. I'm not going to do it. The Bible says that we can't focus on these things. Well, we look not at the things that are seen, the way it feels, the way it looks. See, that's how you combat fear. I mean, you can't just bind the spirit of fear. You're going to have to conquer it. Come on, you can't faith everything away. I mean, they couldn't faith them people out of that promised land over there. They went in and took them out. But God's with you. God is with us. They went in and took them out. I'm taking my inheritance right now from the Lord. Let me give you a little example. The Lord told me one time, he said, buy you a horse. Then I have to go to Teresa. Buy me a horse. Had to fight that fear. So I went to her and I said, I feel like the Lord wants to buy a horse. Okay, that's fine. So I buy a horse. Keep that horse a little while, the horse market dropped to nothing. And we needed some money, and I'm just thinking, Lord, anything I need to do, Lord, you know, what the Bible says, Proverbs 3, acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, and he'll direct our path, you know. Acknowledge him in that stuff. Don't just try to do it on your own. Don't try to figure it out on your own. That's fear. That's fear. That's fear operating. And buddy, you are defeated if you're in your own self and a lot of things. Well, anyways, it bottomed out. The Lord said, sell the horse. And I thought, man, this sounds like God. I mean, you bring them to the Red Sea, man. Ain't dried it up yet, you know. I thought, this sounds like God. The bottom is out. You couldn't give them away for $50. I mean, people are giving them away to keep from feeding them, you know. And so anyways, I said, okay, praise God. I said, what do I need to ask for it? He said, just ask what you get for it. $800, $800, $850, whatever it was. I said, okay. And so I did, and this guy, I think it was Doris's boyfriend, I think it was. Anyhow, he had some horses over there, and he found out, and he bought it. He paid me full price for that horse. Praise God. And I left and I thought, man, how wise God is. Told me to buy that horse. Knew that this time was coming. Knew that it was going to be impossible. But whatever he says, that's what you do. I done read it earlier. She said, whatever he says do, just do it. And so I did it. Well, a couple of years ago, I get into these cow stuff, praise God, you know, and everything. And I'm having to haul my own hay. I just hauled 200 rows. That's a lot of hay, man. And so this trailer, you know, my brother going to sell another longer trailer and everything. And I said, what you want for it? And he told me, and I bought it, you know. And so about a year goes by, and I'm not even using that other one. And I just felt like on the inside, you know, sell it. I give $1,000 for it 2 years ago. And now I'm going to bring in a scripture here before I tell you this. The blessing of the Lord maketh you rich, and addeth no sorrow. The horse deal. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about make this thing real to you. You know, I'm not depending on the horse selling. I'm not depending on the horse. I'm depending on God. And he told me what to do, and I did it, and it worked, and I was shocked. So I thought, well, I give $1,000 for it, and I put a floor in it. I milled the floor and put it in it. You know, and I felt like, I said, well, Lord, what do you think I'll need to ask for it? And he'd give me a number, $3,500. And I thought, ain't no way, man. So I put it up there. Well, a guy comes yesterday and he says, I'll give you this and a gator. And I said, nah. I said, just bring me $2,500. Well, he calls me up, messaged me last night. You know, and he says, well, I've been talking to custom. It's homemade, so, you know, you can get a tag for it. But can't get it across custom. And I'm like, what are you going to do, take it to Mexico or something? I don't know what he's talking about. But that was just a con, because a little later this morning, he messaged me back, and he said, I'll give you $600. And I started asking him, did customs change? You know, I thought that was a con. And so I said, sorry, man, I got somebody looking at 10. He didn't even get the trailer out of my field, and he just pulls out $3,500 and pays me. And I thought, glory to God, I was going to lose $1,000, Lord, and you just caused me to sleep overnight, and my sleep made money. Because I was kind of getting aggravated because I got 350 messages on there, and they ain't even real. They, you know, they... They're offering you chihuahuas for it. Praise God. You know how it is. Them kids out there, we'll trade mama's chihuahua for it. Yeah, mama ain't going to get over that. Praise God. But you know what? I attribute that to being in faith. Stay in faith. Get rid of that fear. Fear of dying. Fear of your kids not. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, it don't make no difference what he tries to use to keep you bound and in fear. Whatever it is, fear of not getting well, fear of something attacking you and you're not recovering, fear of your family dying, whatever it might be, whatever he's using on you to cripple you, you must learn to stand up and fight the good fight of faith. Praise God. So that you can lay hold and you can enjoy. Praise God. All right, does anybody need prayer? Everybody saved in here? Praise God.